Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Because we have two massive Call of Duty fans in the house. Games editor Rishi Alwani is here.
Not really a Call of Duty fan, but okay.
Well, friend of the podcast Mikhail Madnani is here, who appreciates the Blackout mode a lot.
Yeah, and like even though I've kind of bought the last few Call of Duty games, I probably have put in, except for Black Ops 4, which I've played a ton over the last few days, but yeah, the previous ones I've played like maybe 3 hours at best of each of them, so yeah.
Disappointing.
I mean, you remember, right? Japanese copy of Black Ops 3 was the funniest thing ever, so yeah. But yeah, we'll get to that soon.
Right then, I'm your host Pranay Parab. So I think both of you have by now played Black Ops 4 and probably reviewed it as well. Why don't we start by talking about the PUBG Mobile mode of Black Ops 4?
Yeah, so before we get to that, Black Ops 4 has three game modes. One of them is, as Pranay said, the... So before we get to Blackout, which is, as Pranay said, the PUBG smurf of Call of Duty, it's important to note that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has three modes. Yeah, 4 has three modes. One being the aforementioned Blackout, then there's Zombies, which is the cooperative experience, and traditional multiplayer, which is basically Rainbow Six Siege meets Overwatch. And yeah, it's also important to note that there's no single player campaign. That being said, you can play Call of Duty Black Ops 4 offline without PS Plus, though we'll get to that in a bit. So first thing up, Mike, Blackout, what's your take on it?
So after playing it in the beta, I was really impressed with it because so far my experience with PUBG has been pretty bad on both Xbox One S, which I have, and whenever I've like tried it on your Xbox One X, it's been pretty like unpolished for the most part. With the 1.0 update, I'd say it's now finally playable. Although the frame rate still fluctuates all over the place and there are like connection issues, stuff like that. I mean, you know, the staging area when you just like, when they put you into the lobby, it's like a mess. It feels like using Android or something. But Blackout was super polished in the beta. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a beta. It's probably just something they did to drive up sales numbers. And it worked because a lot of people suddenly started talking about Blackout. PUBG streamers started streaming Blackout at the time during the beta. And it's just like a super polished version of PUBG with what people call Call of Duty combat. In fact, it borrows quite a bit from Call of Duty, from whatever I've seen, whatever I've played. Runs really well even on the Xbox One S in the final game, which I've been playing. And it's just a lot of fun. The only, the big question right now is what they do post-launch for Blackout, because so far PUBG and Fortnite, while they both have different monetization models, PUBG is sort of like going to what Fortnite's doing with the Battle Pass and stuff like that. Okay, so basically the while PUBG is borrowed from Fortnite's Battle Pass and stuff like that, Blackout does have some stuff which is locked behind the Season Pass. I haven't really looked into the details of that, but the Season Pass is available for more than 4,100 rupees right now, which is pretty hilarious considering... Black Ops 4 base game, which launched officially at 4699, is available for much less already, and it's not even been a week since release as of this recording. Now yeah, that's my impression of it. Basically, I'm a little concerned about what's going to happen post launch, but for now really enjoying Blackout. I've literally only played 15 minutes of Zombies, and seeing that opening cutscene, I was like, wow, they've put in a lot of effort into this. Don't really care about that right now. I'll probably just bother with the Zombies mode after I get bored of Blackout. So yeah, that's basically what I've been doing.
Yeah, what's interesting is that you did mention that what they're going to do post-launch for Blackout. But what they have done at launch is as you continue playing Blackout, there are ways for you to unlock in-game events or missions or challenges. Missions, as they're called. They're basically challenges that you can do in Blackout. That helps you unlock the game's many specialists as playable characters. Now, obviously, you get the specialists in Blackout, but you won't get their abilities. Because if you get their abilities, like, you know, Prophet Seeker, like Nomad Seeker Mine or Prophets, obviously Talks, Razor Wires, that could be a problem for other players. So that's one way which they're trying to, they're building some sort of a way for people to keep coming back with stuff like that. And in addition to it, if Blackout, one of the other thing that Blackout does, it tries to lean heavily into Call of Duty lore, because you can choose between characters like Reznov, Mason, and, you know, some of the other Black Ops crew. So it tries to build on that universe by having people, you know, play as characters they've known and experienced in the Black Ops universe. To me, what's really nice is that, yes, it's super polished. The gunplay is really good. What's really cool is that there's a distinct difference on how some guns work in Blackout versus Zombies versus multiplayer. So something like the Cordite submachine gun, the shooting in Blackout is a lot more steady, a lot more refined, because a lot of your skirmishes take place in long range. While as if you compare it to how the cordite works in zombies, it's like it basically there's a ton of recoil. It's like you're using an AK-47 almost. And when you're using it in multiplayer, it's got a kind of a it kind of like treads the line between the two. So I mean, yeah, there is a kind of weapon difference which I thought is really really cool. And when it comes to Blackout in specific, what's interesting is that, I mean, you can go up to 100 players, but if you're playing solos, it's 88. But more than that is that some sections of the map actually have zombies, and they're super, super hard to kill. So like in one match, I jumped in a Blackout match, and, you know, just roaming parts of it, and I come across this gigantic monster, which I think is referred to as the Blightfather. And man, it took like, I think, three different weapons, which I found, two which I had on me, and third which I had to scavenge to like kill it. It was quite entertaining. And at the same time, you have to contend with the fact that the map keeps shrinking. So there are some cool things they are doing with Blackout. I just want to see if they ever take it to a situation where you see a player versus enemy mode of sorts, you know, like 50 people versus 50 zombies or some cool stuff.
You mean like save the world? Kind of
like
from Fortnite.
Yeah, kind of like
form.
That. Okay. Yeah, or maybe something like how we had Warzone in Halo 5, but let's see.
When you say we, you mean only you, because no one else played Halo 5.
It is epic. You should play it.
Okay.
All right. So is there like a character unlock thing happening here, or do you get all characters right at the beginning?
No, there is a steady unlock and progression. Yeah. So if you compare it to... So much like the past few... I mean, much like every, I think, Call of Duty game prior, the unlocks and progression are different for each mode. So whatever you unlock in Blackout, you can't use in multiplayer, and whatever you unlock in multiplayer, you can't use in zombies, and, you know, vice versa. And to me, that's a bit of a downer, because what's going to happen with a game like this is you're going to find a game mode you like, and you're going to stick with it for most of the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, in fact, right now. It's going to take a while for me to even bother with zombies. But it's interesting to look at Black Ops 4 as, it, like you said in your review, it's like three different games put together with different balancing, with different gameplay. A lot of stuff is completely different for them, but that's the whole package which you're getting over here. It's not like, you know, Overwatch, where you know how the other modes are going to play, except for like arcade mode where they tweak some stuff here and there. But it's basically the same stuff except for the seasonal events.
Yeah, but again, see, here's the thing, right? Overwatch launched with no baggage. I mean, the only baggage Overwatch had was that it came from Blizzard.
Yeah.
So you have the expectation of god-tier polish. But here we're talking about Call of Duty. And people associate Call of Duty with a lot of different things. I mean, I, for one, I'm pretty still bummed out over the fact that despite we're getting a very good game, there's no single-player campaign. And it's really tragic because the Black Ops sub-brand of a Black Ops is known for its crazy storytelling. And fine, I mean, honestly, the way I see it, looking leading up, the months leading up to launch and where we are now, let's be honest, it's not like any of the sites that first reported Black Ops not having a single-player campaign actually did any original reporting. It had to be leaked. To me, it just seems a way for Activision to normalize the fact that you're not getting a single player campaign. And I mean, it's worked for them, more power to them. I mean, it's the most successful digital game of all time. But then it also sets bad precedent, right? I mean, what are we going to get next year? No single player? Are they just going to force more multiplayer? And if that's the situation, how much time do you genuinely have as a gamer to spend playing multiplayer of each Call of Duty game year on year, where the meta differs, the gunplay differs? Because they're made from different studios, right? They have different people working on them. I mean, for example, right now, I think I have close to 200 hours in Overwatch, and that's been over a period of 2 years, and I'm still playing it. Why would anyone want to sacrifice their main multi for a franchise that keeps amping it up on a monthly, yearly, weekly basis?
So, like, back to your point about what's going to happen next, there's no single player at all. The reason they dumped the campaign here is because the completion percentage for the last few Call of Duty game campaigns was, like, very, very low. In fact, Black Ops 3 was, like, the lowest, I think, ever for the franchise. So I can see why they dropped it. But when you say, why would people give up their main multiplayer game for this? I don't think that's going to happen, because each Call of Duty studio, the ones who make them, every year it changes, as you know. Like, next year is going to be probably Infinity Ward, maybe, because last year was Sledgehammer Games.
Yeah,
who did World War II. This year was Treyarch. Next year is going to be Infinity Ward, probably doing whatever. Each of these has their own fan base of people which plays all the stuff, and there's also a group which buys every single thing. Now, Black Ops 3, you probably know this since you played it a lot, it still has a very active player base. Now, whether that player base moves over to Black Ops 4 is going to be something else, but then Black Ops 3 did come out, like, what, more than 2 years ago?
2015.
Yeah, so that was like 3 years ago. So, like, for those people, they're ready for the next game.
Yeah, but I don't know, it just, because it worries me, right? Because we've seen this before with the Guitar Hero franchise, way too many games too soon and boom. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a moot point.
Guitar Hero franchise never actually like reached the numbers Call of Duty has.
I get that. But then, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a moot point because Call of Duty survived all of that. But then again, right, that's the other thing. And you also have to keep in mind, Call of Duty was in ascendance at a time when we didn't have other multiplayer games competing for our time. There was no PUBG, there was no Fortnite, both of which are exponentially cheaper. And there was no Overwatch either. And there was no Rainbow Six Siege. And we never had a situation where Counter-Strike Global Offensive has had its, I don't know, 15th and umpteenth and God knows millionth update to get people to come back. So it's become a lot more competitive. And the question is, when people... You even have Destiny 2 for that matter, right? So the question is in all of this is, when you have so many multiplayer games out there, so many good multiplayer games out there, it's going to be tougher and tougher for Call of Duty to find that audience to stick around. They have to keep doing something different, and that's the challenge. And as a gamer, as a consumer of multiplayer games, it then begs the question: where are you going to spend your time? Because I mean, in India, for example, we had a very active Killzone 3 community compared to the rest of the world. And with Black Ops, the Black Ops games tended to do well, but then there was always a drop-off. So it'll be interesting to see how this sustains us in markets that may not be in Activision's focal area.
Yeah, but FIFA has like managed to do that, right? I mean, year on year, they keep launching a new game.
FIFA isn't fully online and multiplayer focused. A lot of people buy FIFA, they don't even have PS Plus, I'm sure. A lot of people buy FIFA to just play with their friends who come over, like, and they'll buy it each year because they want that...
Not the ultimate team.
They want that update with the new players and the new teams and the new licenses. Like this year, the Champions League was in FIFA. That's a big deal. I know a lot of people who bought it just for that. But then they're not going to bother with multiplayer at all. With Black Ops 4, you have to play multiplayer if you're buying it. There's going to be a very, very small percentage of people who buy it for that offline zombies mode or whatever you can play solo, basically. In fact, a lot of people are going to buy it either for, at least in India, I see, a lot of people are going to buy it just for the core Call of Duty multiplayer. And obviously, there's a group who are going to buy it for Blackout.
Yeah, and that being said, coming back to FIFA for a moment, what's interesting here is that while in the rest of the world, I'm sure FIFA sales have been fantastic digitally, in India, what's been happening is there's been a lot of people who go into stores or who don't buy it online digitally because they want the disc to take over to their friend's house. And I'm like, yes, in 2018, we're doing it right. So that's something to keep in mind that, you know, there is an audience that wants a physical product for their own reasons. And particularly with FIFA, right? It's rosters being one part of it. The fact that, you know, it is great in split screen. That being said, Black Ops 4 is pretty cool in the way that you can actually play in split screen.
Yeah, but it runs like garbage in blackout mode and stuff.
True,
like
it does.
In fact, whatever videos I've seen, like it does. I mean, I don't even know is split screen even there on PC. We haven't tried the PC version.
No,
usually developers don't bother with split screen on PC because it's usually a couch co-op console thing.
Yeah, and with that being said, for those of you wondering, no, there was no physical edition of Black Ops 4 on PC for India. Abroad there was, but then by physical, I mean code and box.
I mean, so that was last year, right? World War II on PC in India was code and box last year. Destiny 2 was the same. But with Black Ops 4, they've not even bothered bringing it, I guess, because probably the distributor didn't think Battle.net stuff would do well in India. But Activision sales numbers at least like speak otherwise.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of people were like, you know, we saw so much discussion online about how Call of Duty skipping Steam would be the complete death knell for the franchise on PC and it's going to be console only going forward. And yet Activision sales numbers say it was double year on year for PC. And like, come on, that was going to happen when you look at Battle.net on PC. I look at Hearthstone. There's always like a square which reminds you like, you know, a tile over there which says Black Ops 4, pre-order it for Blackout Beta, stuff like that. Blizzard's usually the best at cross-promotion and cross-advertising and stuff like that. Now, whether the player base remains active remains to be seen, but that affects all versions of Call of Duty the way I see it.
But yeah. Seriously, tell me something. Were there any offers over there which could maybe game the numbers on Battle.net? Like, you know, something like pre-order this now and you'll get one copy free or something like that.
No, they didn't do anything like that. In fact, they didn't even say... They didn't even pull a Microsoft and say this many people jumped out of the plane and whatever for Blackout. But they just said the sales were double year on year. And you could have got it a little cheaper on some sites and all that. And I believe you can buy Battle.net games with World of Warcraft Gold in Europe.
Yeah, so actually that's a very interesting point. That's something I was going to bring up too. With Destiny 2, they allowed people to use World of Warcraft Gold to buy the game. to buy Destiny 2 on Battle.net. As far to our knowledge, well, now we could be wrong on this, but from what we know, this wasn't the case with Black Ops 4.
Okay.
There was no promotion per se to game the numbers, as you said. But that being said, there is one way they could have gamed the numbers, because a lot of in the days leading up to launch, there were a ton of sites that were selling the PC version dirt cheap. We're talking like instead of the usual 60, as low as $40-$45.
But that's like standard for every PC game. I don't think there's a single PC game which is not available for under 55, I'd say. In fact, everything, even Dragon Quest XI and Valkyria Chronicles 4, which are super expensive thanks to regional pricing or the lack thereof in India. There are a lot of like sites like Voidoo and Game Billet and Win Game Store and all. Like PC gamers are probably used to all this stuff. You stack coupons, you stack enough coupons, buy from whatever region that's available. You usually get a region free key, and it's almost always available for between $45 and $50. But then the same thing applies to console stuff, right? I mean, Amazon, Best Buy, stuff like that, they were giving rewards coupons, $10 back when you buy these things. In India, the MRP in India was like $4,699, which is stupidly high compared to other games. I mean, Red Dead Redemption is $3,999. I don't get how they think charging $4,699 for this makes sense. But then they did this for Destiny Forsaken as well. But then how many people paid MRP? That's the big question, right?
Yeah, so, and actually coming back to, before we get to the how many people played paid MRP, the only other way they could have gamed numbers on PC is because there was a loophole that allowed you to preload the game on PC without paying for it.
But then they said sales. They didn't say preloads.
So that's the thing. We don't know how they're counting sales metrics, right? We don't know how they're counting. Are they calling for paid user or are they including for this loophole? We don't know that.
I don't think you'd say sales if, you know, it wasn't actually people paying money for it. That's lying.
Yeah, well, this is a AAA games industry. It's built on lies. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I don't think that's the case.
I mean, considering it's Activision of all publishers, yeah. But that being said, how many people paid MRP in India? Now, $4,699 is the price of the game officially. It's usually, last year was $4,499. The year before that was also the same price. The reason for the hike had to do with the dollar fluctuation. That's what we were told. And at least this time around, they're good enough to tell us before release. But what's interesting is, and this is what I find really amusing about the entire situation, where you have everyone, you have a lot of gamers, a lot of consumers screaming at the top of their voices that games are getting too expensive. Who's paying $4,699? Why am I paying so much? Plot twist, the industry kind of has regressed to where it was the 2014-2015 year. So even though, yes, the day one price is garbage expensive, like $4,699, $4,000, but whatever it is. But then within a week or two, we're seeing mad discounts. So Black Ops, for example, is going as low as $3,650, if you know where to look offline.
And you those mean deals, the Black Ops Standard Edition?
Black Ops for Standard Edition, yeah. $3,650, right? We're looking at Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which had an MRP of $4,000, going as low as $3,499. We're seeing Spider-Man, which is a 4,000 rupee game, going for $2,500. God of War, 4,000 rupee game, going for $3,000. And $3,000 is new. If you know used, it's going for as low as $1,500. So my point is, the whole, I find it's reached a point where I find the whole day one outrage over pricing in India to be an utter joke, because the prices have come down. This point in time, if you're willing to forsake the oh my god, must have a game at day one mentality, you can get off surprisingly well. And even Rise of the Tomb Raider, right? Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Day one price, 4,000, right? It was going on PSN for $2,750.
And it's $2,999 on Amazon as deals of the day and all. And like, you can get the Steelbook edition. But then Shadow of the Tomb Raider, like going on a tangent, Shadow of the Tomb Raider has not sold well at all, because usually when publishers discount their title soon after release, you assume that the game didn't sell. But it's always the higher priced edition, like in this case, the Croft edition and the Standard edition, which see discounts. The fact that they are like discounting the season pass before any DLC is out, yeah, that speaks volumes of how badly it did.
Yeah, so, and coming back to Call of Duty, right, we're seeing the same situation. Now, $3,650 offline, where a lot of retailers are selling Region 2 copies of the game. Now, these are copies of the game that will work with the DLC for India, that will work with the season pass for India.
Speaking of the season pass, it's still $4,162 in India.
Yeah, so, because that's a price Sony can control. That's a price Activision can control. They can't control pricing of stock in the market. Because here's the other thing, right? At the end of the day, retailers also know that if they don't clear their Black Ops 4 stock before this week is up, they're going to have a big problem. Because you know what's next week?
Red Soul Dead Calibur 6.
Red Dead Redemption 2. So that's the whole situation.
Maybe they want to get in on that IV action.
No. So point is, that's where we're at, right? Like, it's barely been a week. Reviews are live. I just feel sorry for anyone who paid full price for this game. And here's the best part. $4,699 was the price physically. If you bought the game digital on PSN, if you bought the game digital on PSN at least, you're paying $3,999. Which is not bad, all things considered. If you must have your Black Ops fix, yeah, you're okay. And $3,999 is how much you're paying if you don't share the game. Now, disclaimer, we do not condone that people share PSN accounts and share games on PSN accounts or use any gray methods to do things like this simply because it's not allowed under the terms and conditions of usage of PSN and Sony Entertainment Network accounts. So that's just a heads up right there. But then people are doing it anyway. So that they end up paying half the price, right? So the question is, what's fascinating to me is that Black Ops 4 not only is a different Call of Duty, but it's one of those games where it also brings these other issues to light that, hey, you know, fine, day one pricing might be garbage, but wait a couple of days.
Chuck all that. Answer the real question. Will I be able to play Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Blackout mode on Android?
Yeah, actually, you'll be able to play Call of Duty on Android. There's a game in the works from Tencent. We haven't heard any of it officially since August. What we do know is that the game is in development. There were some leaked screens, but nothing concrete. But here's the thing which is important, and this is something that everyone should know, is that Tencent has a pretty decent track record when it comes to game development. If PUBG was anything to go by, if Arena Valor is anything to go by, expect it to be exceptionally optimized. And if you're wondering why Tencent is making this game also, well, it's because Tencent has a stake in Activision Blizzard. So no surprise they'd be doing this. So that being said, while we can't commit to when you can play Call of Duty on your Android, which is...
You can do it right now if you sideload the Remote Play app.
Yeah, I mean, those methods aside, which still require you to buy the game on PS4. What we can say, however, with utmost confidence, is that you can play Call of Duty Black Ops 4 without PS Plus and without being online. I mean, the catch here is you'll be playing with bots, and you can do that. You can play multiplayer and zombies mode offline with bots. It's a pretty okay experience, not the greatest. But it's something I see a ton of people doing in India simply because not everyone wants multiplayer. And it's something which is interesting because within 2 days of release, I've had like 5-6 stores call me, ask me how they can play the game offline. And it's, yeah, you go to multiplayer, there's an option to do it. It's just that the way Activision has managed it in the UI, they've made it purposely tough so that people think that they have to pay for PS Plus and people think that they have to go online.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sony would be really happy.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah, and Sony would be happy because they have a marketing deal for the game. So they have a deal with Activision for this and they have a deal with Activision for Destiny 2. So not surprised. But
if you'll notice, the interesting thing is while the box art does say requires internet, it doesn't say anything about requiring PS Plus or Xbox Gold.
Yeah.
For a game like PUBG, it says requires internet and Xbox Live subscription.
Mm.
When a game requires it for every single thing, it mentions that. If it says internet required, it usually means you need internet for either downloading an essential day one patch to play the game, or you need, like, it's an online only game. Like GT Sports had internet required. At launch, it had a lot which depended on the internet, but now it's become much better. But it doesn't say anything about PS Plus being required.
No, it doesn't. But then at the end of the day, I mean, the way they've... It's the same thing. And I agree here that they should have been more upfront with the PS Plus requirement. And a lot of it also has to do with the way PS Plus is managed, right? Certain games require PS Plus, certain games don't. You can play Final Fantasy 14 without PS Plus. You can play Fortnite Battle Royale without PS Plus. You can play most of Destiny 2, except for, I think, the Crucible. You can play most of Destiny 2 and maybe a couple of raids. You can play without PS Plus. So a lot of it also has to do with Sony's own policy regarding PS Plus. But I do agree with Mike that, yeah, they should have been a lot more forthcoming on this requirement. But then, at the end of the day, all said and done, I mean, let's be honest, the logic for them is to sell more copies. That's their metric of success.
Yeah, they want to sell more copies. They want Sony wants them to sell more PS Plus subscriptions, and Sony wants to sell consoles also. That's why they're bundling Call of Duty Black Ops 4 with the PS4 and the PS4 Pro. Yeah, so this year there's no Call of Duty custom console design. With last year, they did this stupid camo finish, but that technically still wasn't a Call of Duty bundle because they sell the camo controller separately. With Black Ops 3, they did a bundle which just had the Black Ops 3 logo on the PS4. This year, there's nothing like that. It's just a standard console with the game. They're doing the same thing with Red Dead 2. But then they never did a GTA 5 PS4 or PS3. It was just the game with the standard console. So Sony definitely wants more people to get invested. And Call of Duty, FIFA, Red Dead, these are games which make people in India buy consoles. And they buy them specifically for those games. So I kind of see what they want. And they want people to get PS Plus for sure. And like, now you can even buy PS Plus without having any card as such. You can just pick it up in stores. Or you can buy it online with cash on delivery options as well if you want. If you know where to look. But yeah, basically that, I really don't foresee any situation in which like publishers and platform holders make things clear, because they want more people to pay for all these subscriptions and pay to play. So I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, expect the next Call of Duty to not even have any offline component at all with bots. It'll just be an online only thing. And if you lose connection, you'll get booted back to the menu. Like, doesn't that what the Crew 2 does?
Yeah, so the Crew 2 does that. But then the Crew 2 apparently can't be played offline, much like SimCity. So I think that's the whole mentality. But then again, also, they're different games, right? The structure's an open
world.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying that, like, if they are moving Call of Duty with, and it's, this one's so successful, just expect the next one to not have anything offline. Because no one, like, the whole campaign drama, like, you're right. The whole, everyone just accepted the fact that there's not going to be a campaign months before. So when the game came out, reviews are all really good for it across the world. Obviously, like, in India, reviews aren't great for a lot of reasons, like price, patch size, internet over here and stuff. But yeah, in general, it's reviewed really well. It sold really well. So, like, just expect the next one to not do anything.
Yeah, but what's also interesting in all of this is, despite it reviewing so well, selling so well, it hasn't actually managed to make a dent in PUBG's user base. Forget Fortnite.
Yeah, PUBG's a lot of PUBG's user base is in China. Is Call of Duty even available over there right now? I know they have a separate Call of Duty online thing with Tencent over there. But I didn't really expect it to make much of a dent in PUBG's Steam player base, because I'm sure a lot of those people are, you know, the Steam only or not buying the game type. I remember seeing so much outrage when Destiny 2 was announced as a Battle.net exclusive. Call of Duty's done well on PC. They have like an audience of people who will pay now, because that's what Battle.net users are. So I don't really think that makes a difference. What happens to PUBG's mind share and PUBG's streaming mind share on Twitch is going to be interesting to see, because as of now, obviously, Blackout is the new hotness, so a lot of PUBG streamers are also streaming it. But we'll have to see how things play out 2 to 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, but that being said, Blackout has been so popular on Twitch that even before it's officially out. So since it's a predominantly online game, Black Ops 4 was rolled out in each region separately. So with time zones, because of time zones, Australia and New Zealand had it first. And obviously, the US got it like hours later. So what actually ended up happening on Twitch was that, despite not having any big name streamer streaming Black Ops 4, it was still in the most streamed game that day and most watched streamed game that day.
Okay. So I think we are ready to talk about the games we've been playing this week. I think you guys just take it away, because this weekend I didn't get the time to play Persona 5. So I'm taking my time with this game. So, yeah, Mike first.
Okay, so been playing a lot of WWE 2K19. And yes, for the first time since 2K16, a WWE 2K game is worth buying and worth playing. They fixed a lot of the issues. Performance is great. Animations are great. Okay, performance still sucks in Backstage Brawl. But basically, my only complaint with WWE 2K19 right now is the online mode is a laggy mess. If you're buying it for single player to, like, you know, have fun, like in the PS2 days where you have like 8-man battle royale, not that kind of battle royale, do Hell in a Cell. The story mode is good. They basically nailed almost everything. And I have a feeling 2K20 might actually be the first WWE 2K game that's good for fans of the PS2 and PS1 era. So just enjoying that a lot. The story mode's good, commentary is improved, although it does get a little delayed where, like, you do a choke slam and 10 seconds later they say it. I think because it's difficult for the, like, they haven't programmed it well for them to keep track of so many wrestlers in the ring at the same time. But yeah, at least on the PS4 Pro, looks good, runs really well. Very impressed with that. Other than that, been playing a lot of random stuff on the Switch as usual. Playing a lot more N++, which is now available on every platform. I think it's an action platformer with geometric abstract levels and stuff like that. And other than that, excited for Stardew Valley coming on iOS, so start playing that on Switch again here and there. And I want to see how it'll control eventually on iOS. And
what's the price on iOS?
I think in India it's either $5.99 or $3.99, one of them.
Okay, if it's $3.99, then maybe $5.99, I'll wait.
You'll wait for what? A Switch discount. Port? Oh, wait. But yeah, so it's just basically just been WWE, a little bit of Fire Pro, which I'm still playing. Story mode is interesting and stuff like that. And yeah, just that.
Rishi?
In my case, yeah, I mean, Black Ops 4, a lot of the multiplayer, it's quite fun. The progression mechanics seem to be a lot more interesting to me than what it is in Blackout. And Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I've been like slaying the mythical creatures in the game. I think I killed the Minotaur last night. That was pretty cool. Probably going to hunt down Medusa.
Wait, slaying the mythical things in the game. So the grind.
What grind?
Yeah, exactly.
There is no grind. So yeah, basically slay the Minotaur. Probably going to try tracking down Medusa. So yeah, that's where
I'm at. You need to
be
level 50 for that.
35 plus.
For Medusa, I think you need to be level 50.
No, 35 plus for Medusa, it seems. But yeah, it's pretty good so far. So basically those two.
Right then, that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Kajas360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@kajas360.com. The music for this episode, it comes via Magnus Olai Paulsen, whose album PPP is where the tracks are from. And if you're one of those tech-savvy people who use these apps to listen to podcasts, then go to Google Podcasts on your Android phone and Apple Podcasts on your iPhone and rate this show, subscribe to it, and share your feedback. We'll be really glad if you do that.
Hit the bell.
Don't hit the bell icon. Anyway, so we'll see you next week with another episode. Thank you so much for listening.